With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5. Also, the host of the Football Function Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on April 23rd, 2021. And this was just your regular episode of SmackDown. I mean, it was good, just kind of regular, at least what we've been having over the past few weeks. It did go by pretty fast, I guess, just given that the opening segment took up about 37 minutes of the entire show, which is nearly half. It's well over a quarter. And that's obviously including the promos that kind of happened at the beginning of the show, which led to a tag team match, and then including commercials. It took up about 37 minutes just in real time of the show. And that gave SmackDown the flexibility to not really waste any more time during the rest of the show. They were able to use whatever time they had left to further whatever storylines are going on right now, and that's definitely what they did. I also thought that Pat McAfee did pretty good on the commentary team, a little bit better than he did the week before. You can just tell that second appearance compared to the first one. That's usually always a pretty noticeable difference. You usually get a little bit more comfortable whenever you do something a second time than it's the first time. Some of those pregame jitters, I guess you can say, probably went away, or at least they were a little bit different this week than last week because it's something that he's already done before. So hopefully that's a trend that continues for the rest of the time that he's on SmackDown. But speaking of SmackDown, we can go ahead and dive in here to the SmackDown that we're covering, the main reason why all of you decided to open up this episode, which I am grateful for, by the way. So speaking of SmackDown, let's go ahead and dive in here. And this one starts with Cesaro. Or at least it was supposed to start with Cesaro, but he doesn't even get a chance to get a word out because as he picks up the microphone and begins to put it to his mouth so he can likely challenge Roman Reigns formally to a match for the Universal Championship, Seth Rollins' music hits, and Seth comes out and basically is already laughing at Cesaro. Just crazy that he thinks that he's ready for a match for the Universal Championship whenever Seth Rollins made it very clear last week that this is not over between them two. But Seth does congratulate him for finally reaching his potential, But according to Seth, the only reason that he reached his potential is because of the rub that he got from Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. And if it wasn't for the rain delay, he wouldn't have even won that match at WrestleMania, according to Seth. That the rain kind of threw him off, and it just threw him off. It threw him off, and it also knocked him off of his routine. So basically, he's saying that Cesaro ultimately just got lucky, and that even on his best day and on Seth's worst day, Cesaro will definitely never be able to beat him in a one-on-one match again. And as Seth continues to just lay it on Cesaro, Jey Uso decides to come out and join in on the fun. He basically just tells Cesaro to listen to Seth, that he's not ready for Roman Reigns, and if anything, he needs to be focusing on him, because Jey Uso basically just threatens him and says that tonight he's going to take him out, and he's not even going to get a chance to fight Roman Reigns, so he might as well just stop dreaming right there, because it just basically is not going to happen. And as Seth and Jey are kind of together, kind of orchestrating a plan to surround Cesaro and likely attack him, as you would expect, but Daniel Bryan comes out to save the day. His music hits, and he comes out, and for some reason, he is pushing very, very hard for Cesaro to get this one-on-one match with Roman Reigns. And I understand it probably stems a lot from mutual respect, him really believing that Cesaro deserves this opportunity. But I did think it was kind of weird how hard Daniel Bryan was advocating for Cesaro. Cesaro didn't even say a word. Like I said, this segment lasted 37 seconds. I don't think Cesaro got a single word out during this opening segment. And he might have, but if he did, it wasn't much. I promise you that. So I definitely know that Cesaro was letting Daniel Bryan do most of the talking for him, I guess, whenever it comes to pitching his case to getting this one-on-one match against Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. But I mean, I guess I can give Cesaro credit, because he specifically wants to request it from Roman Reigns. He wants to get the microphone and cut that promo where he's looking at the camera addressing Roman Reigns directly. And for some reason, that is not going to happen tonight. He doesn't get that chance. He's interrupted by whether people talking crap to him or somebody just trying to speak for him. So I probably would have gotten annoyed if I was Cesaro in that situation. But Daniel does make it clear that he is out there to make sure that Cesaro gets what he deserves. He says that Cesaro works harder than everybody, including himself. And then he says that Roman Reigns is where he's at mainly because of family connections. So, I mean, there's probably a little bit of truth to that on why Daniel Bryan feels that Roman Reigns gets a lot of those opportunities. But, I mean, people have said that many times. I mean, people say it to Charlotte all the time. So, if you have family in the business, most likely at some point, people are going to use that line against you and say that the only reason you're here and the only reason you're making it as far as you are is because of the blood that's flowing through your veins, I guess is what they're trying to say, basically, because of who you're related to is the only reason why you are where you are. And I definitely know that there is some truth to that, maybe in certain situations, and not even just in wrestling, just in general. I mean, it's all about who you know. And if you're related to somebody in power, odds are you are going to have an easier path getting to wherever it is you're trying to go than somebody who, you know, is basically starting from scratch and doesn't have that connection. But eventually, Cesaro and Daniel Bryan get their wish, and Roman Reigns comes out with Paul Heyman. And he cuts an A-plus promo, I'll say. And he does give a little bit of a close-up shot on his t-shirt that he's wearing. It has the animation from the finish at WrestleMania 37, where he stacks them and pins them. There's a pretty good chance I'm going to get that shirt. I just really like it. I think that's cool. Black shirts are just badass, and for some reason, WWE always uses black as their main color whenever they're making shirts, especially for Roman Reigns. He's probably never had a shirt that isn't black, so there's that. But he basically just comes out, and like I said, he cuts an A-plus promo. He calls Daniel Bryan a stupid loser, a main event loser, yada, yada, yada. A match eventually gets made here, because, I mean, as soon as Roman Reigns stops talking, he just leaves. I love this about Roman. As soon as he stops talking and says what he says, he doesn't give people the opportunity to reply. He just walks away because their reply isn't even worth anything to him. He basically just wants to say what he's got to say. He doesn't care what you got to say, and he's going to walk away. So we do get a little bit more from Roman Reigns a little bit later in the show. But nothing too much. I mean, he had a pretty easy night tonight, I'll say that. There's a lot of easy nights for Roman Reigns, and I'm sure he's loving that. But like I said, we do get a match here, and it's a tag team match. Jey Uso and Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. And this was about a 20-minute match, physical as hell, and good overall work from pretty much everybody involved. After about 17 minutes and like two commercial breaks, Seth Rollins does tag in Jey Uso and I guess gets tired of whatever and says that it's not worth it. and he starts to head backstage, leaving Jey Uso by himself to fall victim to a superplex off the top rope from Cesaro, and then be hit with a running knee from Daniel Bryan, so their team is able to pick up the win right there. But that's not where the action stops. After the match is over, Cesaro and Daniel Bryan stay out in the ring, and they begin to call out Roman Reigns. And they just want him to go out to the ring and basically just accept Cesaro's challenge. That's all they want from him, but I don't think they're going to get that anytime soon. And Jey Uso tries to attack them from behind while they're still out there, but he ends up getting put in the spin cycle and spun around about 40 times. No, I didn't really count that. I heard the announced people say that it was 40 times, so I'll take their word for it, but he was definitely getting spun around for quite a long time. The whole time he was getting spun around, Daniel Bryan was still on the mic, taking shots at Roman Reigns, continuing to claim that Roman Reigns cannot win or successfully defend the Universal Championship without the help of Jey Uso or others, and he lists several examples. He does mention, he says, you wouldn't have been able to beat me without Edge, you wouldn't have been able to beat Edge without me, and he says that he basically used the crutch of a triple threat match to successfully win his championship at WrestleMania, and I kind of thought that was just a stupid thing to say by Daniel Bryan, because it was Daniel Bryan's idea to make it a triple threat. Roman Reigns wasn't sitting there clamoring to have a triple threat match for him to defend his championship and have a less likely chance for him to win. I mean, that didn't make any sense whenever he said that, but I mean, I guess I knew where he was going with that. One thing I don't understand is why he's even in this situation to begin with. Why is he the one who's so determined to get Cesaro this opportunity? And it doesn't stop there. He continues later on in the show, and he just basically is Cesaro's shadow. And there is a kind of weird turn of events a little bit later in the show as far as this is concerned. So we'll definitely get there a little bit later in the episode. Moving on here, we have Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce backstage. And they're talking about something as the camera goes up there, but they kind of stop. Or as the camera turns to them, they're talking about something, but they kind of stop whenever Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz walk up. And they're, or Apollo that is. He's pissed off. He's pissed off about having to defend his championship tonight. And I didn't know he had to defend his championship tonight. Like I said, I don't follow WWE on any social media for spoiler reasons. So I wasn't aware of any matches that got announced. So this was news to me whenever I found out. I was like, oh, he's defending his championship tonight? I had no idea about that. So whenever I found out it was Kevin Owens, which is what Adam Pearce says next, I got even more excited. I know that Apollo Crews and Kevin Owens definitely have history together. They were kind of part of that same class, or at least that same time frame, during that first ever call-up to the main roster from NXT. They were kind of in that same class, I guess you can say. Pierce did mention that if Big E was healthy or something like that, that this would be his opportunity, and that he's going to get his rematch against Apollo Crews or against Kevin Owens, depending on who wins there. He's going to get his rematch for the Intercontinental Championship as soon as he is cleared. And again, that's one thing that I thought was weird, because I had no knowledge that Big E wasn't healthy or that he was dealing with an injury. And then we end up seeing Big E later in the show, so that even makes that whole encounter and what Adam Pearce said even more weird, and why Big E isn't getting this match. But I didn't really put too much thought into it.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't have a problem with Kevin Owens just getting a championship match. I mean, he deserves it. And I know that him and Apollo Crews are going to put on a hell of a match. So I wasn't complaining at all. And I didn't expect Kevin Owens to win, especially with Commander Aziz outside of the ring. I knew that eventually he was going to have his presence felt and make an impact in the match, and ultimately do what he is there to do, and that's help Apollo Crews retain that championship every chance that he gets. So I wasn't surprised with the outcome whenever we get to that match, and I guess I kind of just spoiled it, and we'll get there a little later. I mean, you guys already know. If you're listening to this show, you most likely already know what happened on SmackDown. And it'll likely be spoiled before you get this anyway. So if you didn't already know, Apollo Crews beats Kevin Owens. And I'll still break that match down a little bit whenever we get there. But before we get there, we have another match here. Nia Jax versus Tamina. Nia Jax had her tag team partner Shayna Baszler and Reginald in her corner, and Tamina had her tag team partner Natalya in her corner. And this match ended kind of similar to how this program ended last week, except instead of their tag team partners being in the ring, obviously now it was Tamina and Nia Jax, but the outcome was basically the same thing, a roll-up victory, except this time Shayna Baszler got kicked in the back by Tamina. But what happened there was Reginald was the one who was trying to interfere in the match. Tamina turned around. She thought it was Shayna Baszler because Shayna Baszler kind of got in the way just to get onto Reginald and basically say, dude, what the hell are you doing? We don't need you to interfere in these matches. Get the hell out of here. And she ended up getting kicked in the back for that. And it ended up causing a whole lot of distractions. Ultimately, Tamina ended up hitting a super kick on Nia Jax and rolling her up to get the win. So that is two roll-up losses to these women's tag team champions in back-to-back weeks. One apiece, and this match was less than 5 minutes, so I mean, that tells you, I mean, how much time it took up on the show, and it just showed more cracks in the tag team champion. So I mean, without a doubt, these guys are going to drop those titles at some point very, very soon. And me personally, especially with how these cracks are starting to get exposed more and more, you can just expect that very next title defense for them to drop those titles. So I'm looking forward to that, definitely. We can all get Shayna Baszler doing something more important and maybe get Nia Jax to go on vacation. Up next, we get a backstage interview with Kayla Braxton and Kevin Owens. And Kayla just flat out says, you can leave tonight with the Intercontinental Championship, and what do you think about that? Kevin Owens responds by saying that he's waited years for this opportunity, and he adds that he would love to be the one who knocks Apollo Crews off of the pedestal that he's been on lately. Big E walks up and calls Kevin. See, this right here is where I thought it was weird, is Big E, I thought that he was injured. I thought that he was out. I mean, Adam Pearce made it pretty clear that he wasn't able to compete and challenge Apollo Crews for his championship. So I thought that Big E was not going to be on the show tonight. So whenever he walked up basically challenging Kevin Owens, or at least confronting Kevin Owens for jumping ahead of him in line, I thought that that was a little bit weird, but I wasn't thinking too much of it. And we do get to see a little bit more from Big E later on, but before this is over, he does call Kevin Owens a habitual line jumper. And then he goes on to say that tonight's match should be his against Apollo Crews. And Kevin Owens just agrees with him. He says, yeah, you're right. I'm not saying that you're wrong. This match should be yours, but it's not. Eventually, you're going to get your rematch. It's just not going to be tonight because this match is going to be me. And I thought that was cool. Kevin Owens, I mean, he agreed. He wasn't just, you know, playing stupid. I mean, he just basically said, yeah, I mean, you're right. You have a point there. But, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not just going to turn down this opportunity because you technically should be the one next in line. That's not my problem. Go take it up with Adam Pearce. That's pretty much what Kevin Owens says, and I could definitely respect that. But up next, after the commercial break, we do get that backstage interview with Daniel Bryan approaching Adam Pearce. And he basically is trying to peer pressure Adam Pearce into getting that match, basically just forcing Roman Reigns to do it. And Adam Pearce says that he's going to try. Daniel Bryan tells him, well, you need to do a little bit more than try. So, I mean, Daniel Bryan's getting extremely frustrated with this whole Cesaro getting his championship opportunity thing. It's just basically like he turned the page from, he has his sights set on Roman Reigns. And he turned the page, all right, well, Roman Reigns beat me at WrestleMania, but I'm still focused on Roman Reigns. I want him to lose that championship. So I'm basically going to be the mouthpiece for this guy and make sure that he beat you. And I know that's kind of, no pun intended, with the mouthpiece regarding Cesaro, for those of you that know that he obviously wears that mouthpiece every week. But I think it's pretty obvious how I feel about this whole Daniel Bryan getting involved thing. I'm not a fan of it. And it does get even weirder as the night goes on, or at least in the closing segment of the show, and we'll definitely get there. But up next, we get that match for the Intercontinental Championship. One-on-one, Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental Championship, like I just said. But before this match even ends, or before it even gets like halfway over, Sami Zayn comes out to join Pat McAfee and Adam Cole on the commentary table. And the conversations that were going on commentary, I feel like were arguably more entertaining than the actual match itself. And that's not a knock on the match or the wrestlers. I just feel like Pat McAfee and Sami Zayn were entertaining together. And I feel like them both being in the heel role, they were kind of bouncing off each other well. And I think that's going to be pretty cool to see going forward. Hopefully we get a lot more of that stuff. But as far as the match goes, Apollo does successfully retain his Intercontinental Championship in his first ever title defense by rolling up Kevin Owens whenever he gets distracted by Commander Aziz. After the match is over, though, Kevin Owens does hit Apollo Crews with a stunner, but that is short-lived because Kevin Owens is immediately hit by the Nigerian Nail, which apparently is a move. It's not a nickname for Apollo Crews, so I was wrong there. It's a move by Commander Aziz, and it's really similar to what Umaga used to do with his thumb, basically just jabbing it in your throat or in the side of your face. Wherever he's going to hit you with it, it's probably going to hurt like hell, and that's just basically what that is. So that is the Nigerian Nail, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I picked up whenever I saw that whole situation happen. So take that for what it's worth. Moving on here, we get a backstage interview with Paul Heyman. And Caleb Braxton asked Paul Heyman just straight up if Roman Reigns is going to accept Cesaro's challenge. And after buttering Cesaro up for a little bit by saying how much he actually respects Cesaro as a performer and how much he actually loves him, Paul Heyman does say that at the end of the night, everybody in the tribe will get to hear from their chief and he will make his decision. Keeping things backstage here, we have another interview, this one with Apollo Crews. And I really couldn't tell you what exactly he was saying. He seemed like he was really out of breath from the match just now, but he was still trying to talk in that accent, so it really wasn't clear to pick apart what exactly it was that he was saying, so your guess is as good as mine. All I remember about this is that Big E came in pretty hard out of nowhere to attack Apollo Crews, and he had to be pulled off. And after he was pulled off and walked away, Commander Aziz walked up to Apollo Crews to basically just check on him, and you could just tell that he was not very happy. The look on his face looked like he might be having a few words to say to Big E next week on SmackDown, and I'm definitely looking forward to that encounter. We actually have a little bit of a run here on backstage stuff, or at least things that don't involve in-ring action or anything like that. So up next, we have a little vignette, a little video package put together for Aleister Black. Apparently he is back and as a heel, a full-blown heel. He straight up took shots at the fans. He is sitting there and he's reading a book. And he reads a chapter from the book called The Dragon, and the book is called Tales from the Dark Father. And they made sure to get the camera looking at that for quite a long time, just to basically let you know, yeah, this dude is up to some dark stuff. And just to be completely honest with you, I was not keeping up with that whole story thing that he was trying to tell. I was trying to, because I knew that it is probably tying in somewhere along the lines. But whenever wrestling gets super, super dark like that, and it just gets really like science fiction, I guess you can say, and that might not even be the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say. Whenever it gets super, super deep like that, I mean, The Undertaker and The Fiend is kind of like as far as I can get, so whenever they get really, really deep like that and it requires me to use the brain power that I usually don't use when I'm watching wrestling, it just kind of takes me out of the moment. But I was still paying attention here, and I did watch it, and it was very clear that Aleister Black has turned heel officially, and I'm glad to see that they're not just, you know, just throwing him to the side and, you know, just sweeping him away, given what happened with his good friend Andrade and obviously his wife with Zelina Vega. So I'm glad to see that they're not just going to just throw Aleister Black away with him. I hope that maybe he can stay and have a career in WWE because he's talented as hell. He's one of my favorites, and I'm glad that he's on SmackDown. It's a shame that he really hasn't been used in forever. I hope that maybe this is a sign that he does have something in store for him, and that's just really good. Going into the summer, maybe we can have Aleister Black reach some of his potential, maybe get a little bit of a run there in the mid-card, go after that Intercontinental Championship at some point. That's something that I could see happening, and I really, really hope that it does. Moving on here, we have another backstage interview with Caleb Braxton and Ziggler and Rude. And Caleb Braxton asked them to basically tell her who they think is going to win the match that happens later on in the show between the Alpha Academy and the Mysterios. And then she follows up by asking who is next in line for the Dirty Dogs. And then the Street Profits end up making their way into the picture, basically answering the question for Caleb Braxton, or at least they're trying to make their pitch for giving themselves an opportunity at the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And as they're bickering back and forth, Bayley walks up and she starts to kind of take shots at Bianca. She calls her spoiled and says that at Backlash, she is going to take back her title. She still calls it her title, I guess, because she had that longest reign. Apparently, that means that it is always going to be hers, even though this is actually the second person to hold the title since she lost it. So, a little bit of a messed up perspective there, I guess you can say, for Bayley. But hey, that's just what she does here lately. But As Bayley is running her mouth, Montez Ford pulls out his phone and he calls Bianca and tells her that Bayley has her name in her mouth. And then Bianca immediately says that she'll be there. And then she hangs up. We go to commercial break. We come back and Bianca's already there somehow. I mean, I don't know if she lives a block away from the facility or if she was just across the facility whenever she called her. I really wasn't sure. But Bianca does end up showing up immediately after the commercial break. And then she starts to confront Bayley, who completely backtracks on everything that she just says, or at least that's what I thought she did, because she then says that it's going to be an honor to face her at Backlash. But as Bianca turned away and started trying to talk to, I think it was Caleb Braxton, maybe it was Montez Ford, I'm not 100% sure, she turned away to try to talk to somebody, and then Bayley just begins to laugh out loud, basically just saying that everything that she just said was a joke, and she could barely hold it together the whole time she was saying it, and she just couldn't help but let it all out right there. So there you go. The match is made official at WrestleMania Backlash. We're going to get Bayley versus Bianca Belair. I don't know why I couldn't remember her name. But yeah, Bayley versus Bianca Belair for that SmackDown Women's Championship. Sasha Banks was a no-show here on the episode, which was kind of surprising to me, but I guess not at the same time. She really, I mean, all she did last week was struggle to get her words out. She showed some frustration from the results at WrestleMania, but she didn't necessarily show any signs that she was going to continue into this feud with Bianca Belair. Bayley was clearly the one who inserted herself last week by doing something similar to what she did now. And sure enough, she got that one-on-one match. So there you go. It's going to be Bayley versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania Backlash for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Up next, we get a tag team match between the Mysterios and Alpha Academy. And just being completely transparent here, I feel like as of recent, or at least the latest episodes of SmackDown, I feel like this has kind of been the lowest point. Just with this program itself, this is the low point of SmackDown. And that's not necessarily saying that it's terrible. I don't think that. I'm not annoyed or I'm not tired of seeing this yet. That just kind of shows the good product that SmackDown is putting out on a weekly basis. That this is, if you have to say a lowest point, it's not even something that's bad, but it's something that, I mean, if you're going to have to say something, I mean, they usually don't get a lot of time in the ring, and it's usually some type of wacky finish, like last week with Rey Mysterio getting the roll-up. So you really never can get too invested in this. You know that it's just these two teams kind of battling, trying to figure out who can get the upper hand and insert themselves into the number one contender spot. But as far as the match goes, I did notice early on that Dominic was having a hard time bracing for those shots from Otis, whether it was just like a clothesline or a shoulder tackle. He was just definitely getting knocked around and his head was kind of flying back and forth. And that's just something that you really don't want to do. You always want to have good control of your neck just so you don't injure yourself. That's just number one. That is not a part on your body that you want to be reckless with. Just let's say that. Just try to brace for that a little bit better if you're Dominic. But I will say that he always does his best work against Chad Gable. So whenever Chad got in the match, you kind of started to see Dominic pick up a little bit. I noticed that Chad Gable had a belly-to-belly version of Eddie Guerrero's old Three Amigos suplexes. Chad Gable did it belly-to-belly, and I thought that was impressive. I don't know if I've ever seen that, so that was definitely cool to watch. But as far as the match goes, it ended with Rey Mysterio hitting a 619 followed by a frog splash on Gable to pick up the win after Dominic took Otis out outside the ring. So I was kind of surprising to see after Dominic was having, you know, his hands full, everything that he could possibly handle from Otis earlier in the match. He was able to go outside the ring and kind of throw him around a little bit, or at least, you know, throw him on the announce table, or at least try to. Otis is a hard guy to throw around, even for the full size, you know, 6'5", 250-pound wrestler. So a guy like Dominic's definitely going to struggle throwing Otis. But I mean, Rey Mysterio and them get the win, so they are on a roll here. And they mentioned a lot during the broadcast how nobody has ever been father and son tag team champions before in WWE history. So I mean, that right there, they already tipped their hand, they ruined it. You already know that eventually at some point they are going to get that first ever title, being the first ever father and son to be tag team champions. I mean, I do think that's pretty cool. It's not something that I just want to, you know, push to the side and just neglect it because I'm not too high on Dominic and Rey Mysterio. No, I think that's pretty cool. You know, having a father and son be tag team champions, I mean, that's, for one, just because you are a professional wrestler and you happen to have a son, it's like a one in a million that your son is going to be as passionate about what you did as you are passionate enough to reach this, you know, be in the WWE. It's one thing to just be an independent wrestler and, you know, try. Because, I mean, I see it all the time in the football world. You know, somebody will have a father who played a long time ago or, you know, an older brother or something like that. Just be from that bloodline. And they're more name than game. You know, they don't really back it up on the field. They're kind of just, you know, they're going off the coattails of their more famous relative. And I don't think Dominic's doing that, obviously. I just think that before I got too off topic, basically just saying that I do think it will be cool that Dominic and Rey Mysterio will hold those championships together. Let's just hope that maybe whenever they get them, they'll stop jumping on each other's back. I know DJ Kuzmo pointed it out on Twitter after it happened. And I can't help but just, you know, shake my head every time that I see them do that. I know what they're doing, but come on, dude. You don't have to do it every single week. But moving on here to the final segment of the show. And this is Cesaro coming to the ring with Daniel Bryan. And they both begin to tell Roman Reigns to come out to the ring and give them an answer. It takes a little bit, but Roman Reigns does eventually come out there. And he holds the belt up when he gets in the ring and he looks in Cesaro's eyes. And while he's looking at him, he gets a mic, and he basically just tells him, no, I'm not going to defend my championship against you. You're not on my level. The answer is no, and it is always going to be no. And then he adds that the Universal Champion is the one who makes the challenges. And then he looks at Daniel Bryan and says that the challenge is him. And right there, I was like, oh my gosh, dude. What are you, like, at first, I seriously thought he, because the way the camera was angled, I thought that he was, like, talking to Pat McAfee. I forgot that Daniel Bryan was even in the ring, and as soon as I saw that he was talking to Daniel Bryan, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, are you kidding me? We are seriously, you have Cesaro right there in front of you. Even Seth Rollins, I thought was a long shot, maybe a dark horse, but I thought, ooh, is that something that might be coming up around the corner? I did not think they were going to go the whole Daniel Bryan route again. And we do find out a little bit more in a little bit that might make a little bit of sense on why this is happening, but still, that just in the moment before they elaborated on the terms of the match, I was just, you know, my live reaction was just like, come on, man, do not do this again. Nobody really wants to see this right now. We've already seen Roman Reigns go through this. We've already seen him beat Daniel Bryan. We don't need to see it again. Let's have new challengers approach Roman Reigns and, you know, try to take that championship from him. But in this segment, Daniel Bryan, he hesitates. He doesn't want to do it. Whenever Roman Reigns challenges him, he's still sold on it being Cesaro's opportunity. Cesaro was sitting there telling him, no, man, you can do this. Take the opportunity. You can beat him. You know, you can do this. Just being the ultimate babyface, you know, he's telling Daniel Bryan to take that opportunity. But Roman Reigns goes on a little bit, and he basically just tells Daniel Bryan that he doesn't like him. He's never liked him, and he never will. But for whatever reason, he's going to give him one more opportunity next week on SmackDown for the Universal Championship. But this one has a little bit of a tricky touch to it. It has a little bit of a extra layer, if you will. Basically, if Daniel Bryan loses this match, his SmackDown career is over. And they made sure to specify. They didn't say, you know, his career in general is over. He has to retire. He has to leave WWE. They were very specific by saying your career on SmackDown is over. So that tells me that Daniel Bryan, if anything, is probably going to go over to Raw. They haven't mentioned a superstar shakeup yet, but I mean, them specifying multiple times that he's going to be leaving SmackDown or a SmackDown career would be over, that's what kind of tells me that that is what we might be in store for. So like I just said, Roman Reigns tells him, if you lose, your SmackDown career is over, and I never want to see you on my show again. And after he gets the approval, I guess, or at least the motivation from Cesaro by telling him you can do it, or the inspiration, just telling him, come on, man, you can do it. Take this opportunity. Daniel Bryan eventually accepts. So next week, we're going to get a Universal Championship match on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. And I'm sorry, but Daniel Bryan is going to be leaving SmackDown, if these are the terms, because there's no way in hell they're going to have Daniel Bryan take the championship from Roman Reigns. They're definitely not going to have him take it from him on SmackDown. And just the fact that they added that layer of Daniel Bryan's career on SmackDown being over, you could already just tell right there something is going to happen, and Daniel Bryan is not going to win this match. I don't think that Roman Reigns is going to have to cheat. This could be one of those wins that he reestablishes himself as somebody who doesn't have to do that, because Daniel Bryan during this episode made sure to, you know, beat it into the ground that he doesn't think that Roman Reigns could win without Jey Uso. So maybe this can be a week in SmackDown, that is, this could be next week, where he does successfully defend his Universal Championship without the help of anybody else. makes him look strong. Cesaro continues to look strong, because even in that tag match, similar to how Big E looked before he won the Intercontinental Championship and you knew that he was headed for big things, I kind of sensed that exact same thing with Cesaro. He was the one who was booked coming in off the hot tags, doing those uppercuts from unique places. He was just having a smooth match with talented wrestlers. Him and Seth Rollins work well together. Him and Jey Uso work well together. So he was able to put on a pretty good performance, and I think that's going to continue given the fact that those are the guys that he's working with right now, and he works well with them. So you can expect pretty good things to come from Cesaro in later weeks, and I think that the best is yet to come, without a doubt. I think that, like me and Matt said on the weekend review last week, I think that Money in the Bank is a realistic possibility for Cesaro, and I'm hoping that that is, in fact, what happens. Not just to say I called it, but just because I think that would be a pretty cool way to do it, to have a babyface actually cash in that Money in the Bank. We haven't had somebody do it like that since Dean Ambrose, so I wouldn't mind having that be the thing that happens. And that be the way that Cesaro gets his hands on that Universal Championship, or at least gets his hands on Roman Reigns and an opportunity. Getting that publicity, getting that main event match once again on a big pay-per-view. Hopefully it happens somewhere around SummerSlam. I think that Cesaro having a match, a one-on-one match against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and then later in the year having a one-on-one match with Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, I feel like that would be a pretty solid year for him, especially if at some point he did end up capturing that belt. And I don't know if he's going to do it. Roman Reigns is too hot right now. But if he does, I wouldn't be too pissed. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, Cesaro deserves that. Cesaro deserves that championship. So I would not be upset if he ended up winning it. So there you go. That is the SmackDown review. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to coming back next week and seeing how this thing happens, talking about that Universal Championship. Once again, there are some more shows coming out this week. I know for sure the weekend review will be dropping this week. On Sunday, it usually does, maybe Sunday, or no, Monday, Sunday night, depending on how it, you know, usually gets recorded. I'm not really sure how he's doing it this week or if he's going to have a guest, but I know that you are guaranteed to get that episode at some point, and I know it's going to be a good one, so definitely check that whenever it drops. I do want to thank you for listening to the show. If you're a first-time listener, I want to thank you for choosing this podcast. If you're a regular listener, thank you for making this part of your weekly routine, and I hope that you'll continue to do so. With all that being said, though, guys, I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.